Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 11 of the Golf Shake Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Matt Holbrook. Matt, how are you?
I'm all the better for speaking to you, Ryan.
Good. I've had a busy day, mate. Very, very busy day today. I've been here, there and everywhere, all over the north of England to different meetings. And yeah, I'm quite pleased now. I'm home, I'm settled, and back from Turkey, because obviously last week, that's where you spoke to me from.
Have you skipped a week? I'm sure last week.
Yeah, no, I think I fast forwarded, haven't I? I was here. I was in body, but not in mind. But yeah, it's been a roller coaster. Let me tell you, this week has been packed with stuff. Not play golf, absolutely not. But at work, it's been mental. Lots and lots of stock coming in. I've got cardboard boxes piled up outside the shop about 20 foot high.
Is this not what you got? And you've got assistant pros for that?
Well, yeah, but they just don't do it as well as me, Matt. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's fair enough.
I'm a bit of a control freak when it comes to stuff like that. To be fair to the lads, they've done a great job. They really have. But I'm just weird. I just like things a certain way. So
makes sense.
But yeah, it looks good. So I've had this massive Puma wall come in this week for the footwear and the clothing, which looks awesome. Some new stuff from Adidas, some footwear, a few bits of Glenmuir that have come in, a bit of Travis Matthews stuff. Yeah, just looks class.
Season's coming, isn't it? Season's coming.
Just around the corner.
Yeah.
Just around the corner. But yeah, it's certainly been a busy one. Like I say, haven't managed to get out on the golf course. Did hit a couple of balls inside the other day, but to be honest, I've literally hardly hit a shot since I came back from Turkey. Those have just been too busy. So me and Tom, who does our videos with us, we filmed a few little bits last week. So we did a video on the most forgiving drivers out there. So check that out when it comes out. It's not hit the channel yet. And also one that's, I think, gone on this evening. I've done a review of the new FootJoy Hyperflex Carbon golf shoes, which I got sent a pair of and I took them to Turkey and thought they were quite good. So yeah, check out what I thought on the review and kind of some honest feedback about them when I tried them for a couple of rounds and walked just about 10 miles in them in Turkey.
That is live, that video. I've seen the notification.
It's just gone on, hasn't it, tonight? Yeah. So
yeah,
it was another one where we've been sent some KBS shafts to do some reviews of. So the graphite wood shafts that they do. So I've got a driver, a 3-wood and a 5-wood shaft, which I've put in different clubs and done a bit of a review on those as well. I think that might be coming out tomorrow though. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that one. But yeah, I mean, as well as busy week for me, I'm bet it's been a busy week for you as well, mate. How many times you got out and played?
No. So I've actually set my alarm for 5:35 a.m. this morning, and I teed off for the first time in just under 2 weeks. So the last time I played golf was the Tuesday before last, so literally 2 weeks tomorrow. And that was at the Felixstowe Winter Four Ball. Since then, when it was my weekend to play golf, the course was closed all weekend because of defrosting snow and rain. Then the course was closed a lot last week because of the rain. And then it opened back up on Friday for 9 holes. It was open this weekend. But for those that don't know, I only play golf every other weekend. So this was not my weekend to play golf, just gone. So the only option I had to scratch my golfing itch was to get up and tee off at 6:20 this morning. And I was up 18 holes in the bank and home again by 9 o'clock.
Very good.
And it felt amazing.
Golf is about the only thing that would get me out of bed at that sort of time of day.
Yeah. To be honest, my body clock's a bit all over the place at the moment. Like, I'm strange in the sense that my body's ready for the clocks to go forward next week. So I'm like, no, I am. I'm waking up at like 5:30 at the moment and I'm tired by 9:30, 9. Whereas this time next week, that will be, you know, waking up at 5:30 and being tired at 5:30. So I'm ready.
Little children that are like that, mate. You need to grow up.
Yeah. I know. Well, yeah, my little one's the same. He's falling asleep at 5:30. At the minute of an art time. So this time next week, Twilight Golf will be back. We will be very close to, we'll be a week out from the Masters. I have it on good authority that my new golf clubs would have arrived by then.
They're not here yet.
They're not here yet, but I spoke to the good guys at Cobra last week. Not to chase them, just to say, guys, just want to let you know in case there's anything wrong. Still not had anything. I was like, oh, it's okay. They're on their way. They're on their way. So I'm actually playing golf next week on Friday with one of the guys from Cobra, Sam. And that will be nice to get out. That's going to be my first golf shake feature of the year next week on Friday. I won't say where yet because I don't want to give it away because all the YouTubers will be banging on their door going, oh, yeah, let us come and play and stealing our thunder.
Very, very good. Obviously, in the world of golf, we've had more professional events going on. So where do you want to start, Matt? Do you want to start PGA? Do you want to start DP World? Do you want to start LIV?
Well, let's start DP World because I'll be honest. Okay. I know Matt Baldwin won, and that's great to see him win his first event.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I sat down on Friday. I decided to work from home on Friday, and I thought, I know what I do. I'll put my laptop on me lap, and I'll stick the golf on. And to my shock, there was no DP World Tour coverage at all on Sky this week. So I didn't actually see any. None at all. So I know Matt Baldwin won through social media, but I couldn't tell you who came second. Who
not only third. Did he win, he won by 7 shots.
Did it? Was it?
He shot 400 par last round. First win ever. He just blew everyone away.
Okay.
That's the way you get your first trophy, isn't it?
I'm just having a look actually now, and I can see that
everyone else.
My regular pick, Ewan Ferguson, was at a strong finish. And I'm pretty sure I called out the Spanish guys, didn't I? Adrián Auz last week.
Do you know who we did both call out who had an absolute shocker, though?
Who was that?
Which South African player did we
both? Oh, Ockie Strydom.
Yeah, MC Hammer, gone home on Friday.
Oh, come on, Ockie.
So we really, really picked well there, didn't we? But no, I mean, it's great. Matt Baldwin is a seasoned professional. Great to see him win.
Yeah. I think it was his 200th start.
Quite got it done. So, yeah, I mean, it was really, really good to see him win.
Yeah, it was his 200th start, was it not, I believe?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, I did read that. Actually. Yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, he's, like I say, he's been around a while. He's had some good finishes. I've seen him a few times when I've been to events and been quite impressed with sort of watching him and hitting shots and stuff. But yeah, I mean, to see him win and get over the line and do it in the fashion that he did is seriously impressive. I mean, I don't know much about the golf course over there on the Eastern Cape of South Africa. I think it's called St. Francis Links that they played, but it looked absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. It's just a shame that, like, you know, it's obviously a big deal for him and it's not, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he should be getting a bit more coverage than that, I think, shouldn't he?
Yeah. I'd like to think so. Attached to Royal Birkdale, nice place.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. That's where I've seen him. Sort of, I've seen him play a few times when I've been to. I think he qualified for the Open a while ago, and I saw him in a practice day. But yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah.
And obviously, on the other side of the pond.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm happy to move over because I did watch a fair bit of the final round last night.
Another first time winner as well, PGA Tour. So. What did you make of Taylor Moore's win?
So that was nip and tuck. I mean, it was one where he shot a good final round, a 4 under, which, you know, only Sam Byrne, you know, a few guys shot 4 under, but, you know, most other people were kind of 1 under, either over par. You know, it was playing quite tough, and he got in the house early with his 10 under total, and nobody really kind of made a charge and got close to it.
Yeah, I think I've seen a clip of him hitting some balls on the range, almost expecting to be in a playoff, really. And kind of gone, everyone else kind of falling away. I honestly thought Spieth was going to do it. Really thought those conditions, those windy conditions, were going to suit him quite well. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty happy with how he's going coming into the Masters. I think it's good to see him obviously playing nicely, and he seems to be up there pretty much every week at the moment, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he does. And I saw one of these funny things. It's the sort of thing I really like social media for, but I think the last 2 years on Easter Sunday, there's been PGA Tour events that Jordan Spieth has won.
Right, okay.
And this year, the Masters finishes on Easter Sunday, so it's like, can he win?
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, can he win?
My worst wife's birthday as well, actually. So.
Is it?
I've told her that between the hours of like 7 a.m. 10 a.m. we can do whatever she wants. Right.
Brilliant.
As soon as any coverage comes on, her birthday's over.
Yeah. There you go. Easter Sunday 2021.
Those of you listening, I haven't said that to her at all, nor would I. Otherwise, Mrs. Rastel would be giving me a black eye.
It's the sort of thing I would actually say. right. Here we go. 2021, Jordan Spieth wins Texas Open on Easter Sunday. 2022, Jordan Spieth wins the RBC Heritage Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday 23, the final round of the Masters. So, chuck your life nice. Savings on Jordan Spieth.
Nice. Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm going to put some money on him anyway. I think he's going to win the Masters. So.
Yeah. A quick word on Tommy Fleetwood, because he looked like he was, he didn't look like he was giving it a good charge. He was 2 under through 13, but made a bogey on a par 5. I don't know if you see it, but he had a horrible lie in a bunker and just kind of left the ball in the bunker. We've all done it. I mean, and when he finally did get it out, he didn't leave himself a very nice par putt and, yeah, ended up making a bogey on that par 5, and that kind of halted his progress, really. Otherwise, he would have, might have pushed him a little bit closer.
Probably contended a little bit. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but he's another one that's trending, you know. He's been playing quite well the last few weeks.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, obviously, we'll get on to what's going on this week on each of the tours. But yeah, I mean, he's the sort of player that you could see do quite well this week. And, he's just a tough competitor and has obviously got form playing well in match play as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's good to see him in the right direction. I mean, he's a guy that could do really well at the Masters too. So,
yeah.
Right, Liv, I'm guessing you've watched none of this.
I'll be honest, I didn't even know that there was a Liv event this week until I saw something posted on social media today.
I watched quite a bit of it, actually, the first couple of rounds particularly. I watched a little bit of the last round, but, yes, Danny Lee, who's someone I've followed for a long time since he was like the world number one amateur for a long time, you know, showed a lot of promise, did quite well on the PGA Tour. But yeah, to see him win his first event there. So he was tied with Carlos Ortiz and Brendan Steele, all on 9 under par. Unfortunately, the guy who I thought was absolutely going to walk this event, Mark Leishman, who was leader and, you know, if he'd have just shot level par final round, would have won. I think he shot 6 over in the last round and just literally completely fell from the top of the leaderboard. I think he was 11 under after 2 rounds and 9 under one. So, not a good finish from Leishman. And I don't know whether the cash on the line got to him or not. I'm not sure. But, it was still, you know, another good event to watch. And obviously some really good players out there showing some decent form too. The team aspect is not really something I'm all that down with, if I'm brutally honest with you. But the sort of individual players that we'll kind of be interested in seeing, obviously the ones I've spoken about, Louis Oosthuizen had a good finish. Charles Howell III, who won the last event, finished 5th as well. So Mito Pereira up there too. Garcia played pretty good. There's some good finishes in there for those guys as well. But yeah, like I say, decent event to watch. I thought particularly. I don't know whether any of you guys out there are watching much of the Live Golf, but the app that they've got now is pretty good, and the coverage is generally quite decent as well. So I know Matt, you've not watched any of it, but I certainly did had it on my phone a little bit over the weekend watching it.
Good.
So next, let's talk about this week then. Okay, so we've got the DP World Tour is still staying in South Africa in Johannesburg this week. So we've got Johnson Workwear Open, again quite heavily influenced by the Sunshine Tour, the field here. So lots and lots of South African players playing, which you'd expect, but still some of our favourites from the DP World in there as well. So. Have you had a look at who's playing this week, and have you got any kind of tips for who you think might do quite well? Or
I think that unfortunately, what happens with these little kind of mini stints in certain parts of the world, so you'll find that the majority of people that played last week will probably play this week, especially the guys that have travelled to South Africa. you know, they would have gone down for both events, not just one. So, you know, again, I'm not, you can't look far past, you know, again, the Spanish guys, Arnaus and Ortegi, for example.
Yeah. Rafa Cabrera-Bello seems to be having, but he's played every week. I look at this, it looks like he's played about the last 25 weeks in a row, which can't be good for him. he needs a bit of time off, I think. But he's obviously a very good player. But, you know, personally,
Sean Norris, if you're going to ask me for a pick, I'm going to go Sean Norris.
Sean Norris, aren't you? Really?
Okay. Yeah. He was close to top 50 in the world at one point, I'm sure.
You've got, obviously, your mate Ewan Ferguson up there, Dan Bradbury again, Dan Gavins, some good player. I'm going to go Pavon because he just seems to play well every single week and he hasn't, well, I just think that last week he nearly got up there, and a few times when I've watched, I've thought he should have won. So I'm hoping Pavon can do it.
I like that pick.
Yeah, weird agreement for once. But we've obviously got some great players in there as well. The likes of Ross Fisher playing, Jamie Donaldson, people who, you know, played great golf in the past. Andy Sullivan's in there as well. I've just seen his name on there. Alex Levy as well. I mean, where's his form gone? I mean, what a player he is.
Yeah. He was injured. He had pretty much a year away from golf, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He was injured.
And then Dan Brown, who finished top 10 last week, again, Yorkshire lad, and he could do quite well. He's a very, very good player. It was when he was still an amateur, we had the Yorkshire Open at Howley, and he won it quite easily, played really, really nicely. So, yeah, he's another good player to watch too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's obviously not going to be the strongest field ever, but this is a great opportunity for some of these guys to win in South Africa. And, you know, there are some amazing players from South Africa on there as well, you know, Sunshine Tour guys that are going to get in and play. The pick from last week, Oki Strydom, he's in the field again. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty on there that you could. Jaco Ahlers did well last week as well. He's another really, really good player. Trevor Fisher Jr. I can see on there as well. He's won on the European Tour before. Thomas Aitken, great player.
Yeah.
It's just packed. I mean, we think of these as kind of not lesser events, but kind of ones where we're not going to see the top 20 guys in the world play, but the depth of talent on the DP World Tour is massive. So whichever event you watch, you're going to see some great golf, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
And speaking of great golf, in America, we have the match play. Yeah. So for me, it's not an event I'm really that bothered about, but there's lots and lots of very, very good players in it, isn't there?
There is. So I kind of agree with you in the sense that I kind of struggle with this event a little bit because it can go one of two ways.
I thought you'd be the opposite because you just love match play.
No, I actually don't enjoy match play. I don't mind watching it, but I don't enjoy playing it. It's not my favourite. This event could be absolutely fantastic. Do you know what? If you get to the semi-final stage and you've got Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Max Homer, then great. But with all due respect to these guys, you could get to the semi-final stage and you could have KH Lee, Denny McCarthy. I'm just picking out names. Do you know what I mean? JJ Spawn and Mackenzie Hughes. Now, no disrespect to those four. It's not going to set the world on fire. So what happens is the weekend on this event, and it has happened in the past, the weekend of this event can almost become a bit of a turnoff in theory. So it is one where you need the good players to get out of their groups. And very rarely does it happen that, you know, all the top seeds in the groups get out of their group. So it's definitely one where the first 3 days when they're all playing against each other is probably a little bit more interesting. And then you have to kind of just go with it from there to find out who's got through. But yeah, look, I mean, I'm even looking at the groups and there's nothing mouthwatering. Do you know what I mean? I think you've got Colin Morikawa and Jason Day that are going to play against each other. You've got, I think the other one was John Rahm and Ricky Fowler as two kind of names. But actually Group 10 to me across the board that consists of Tony Finau, Kurt Kitayama, Adrian Mironk, and Christian Bezuidenhout. It's probably one that sticks out to me as, you know, one that could give us some tasty matches.
I think you're right. I think that could be a really good group to watch. And for those of you that haven't done it or haven't seen it, if you go on the PGA Tour website, there's actually on the Dell Match Play site as well, there's actually a really cool like interactive kind of bracket thing where you can pick who you think is going to go through from each sort of side of the draw and stuff, and who you think might win each sort of match there, you know, going forwards and stuff like that. So it's quite fun. I'm actually doing it as we speak right now, and I'm going to tell you who I think is going to win in a second. So I've picked one player that's going to pop out of every group, okay? And then obviously it takes it into the rounds going forward. So at the minute, I've got here, out of the ones I've picked, so in the semis, I've got on one side Matt Fitzpatrick against Rory McIlroy. And on the other side, I've got John Rahm versus Will Zalatoris.
Nice.
And then on the other side, I've got Scottie Scheffler against Jason Day and Jordan Spieth against Sam Burns. So
I like it.
I'm gonna click it through as to who I think is going to win. Right?
Thing is, you can't, like, when you do this sort of thing, so you have to kind of try.
This could be the absolute biggest load of rubbish I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But I'm going to persevere anyway.
So, like, for example, right, it wouldn't surprise me if Rory didn't get out of his group this week. And I know when you look I just think they're...
We've got Keegan Bradley, Stallings and McCarthy in there. Scott Stallings is a hell of a player. And Keegan Bradley can be a very tricky guy to play against as well.
Part of me thinks, you know, like, do a few of these guys want to, you know, look, so this is one of their designated events, so they kind of have to play. I don't think that's going to be the case next year. Well, they're getting rid of it, aren't they, next year?
Yeah.
So a certain part of me thinks, you know, is there going to be a few of them that just want to get the hell out of there as early as they can this week, and start prepping for the Masters?
The way I've clicked it through here, the final's going to be Sam Burns against Will Zalatoris, all right?
Interesting.
Who would you pick out of them two?
Sam Burns.
You reckon? I would probably go with that. Yeah, so there's
Sam Burns not to get out of his group.
I've got him in my third place match is Scheffler against Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
So, yeah, this could be absolute rubbish we're talking right now, but I suggest you go on the fantasy bracket on the PGA Tour and have a go yourself and have a bit of a look.
Yeah, it's quite fun, actually.
It is good. We're going to see some great golf from some of the best players in the world, aren't we? So, it's definitely worth tuning in and watching. And, you know, the PGA Tour tends to be on at a much better time viewing-wise for us, doesn't it? You know, so we can sit there in the evening and open a bottle of wine and watch some of the PGA Tour, or in your case, a Diet Coke, whatever it is. But,
Vimto,
we've got some good golf on both tours this week, really. Like I say, the very kind of stark contrast between the players that we've got. Obviously, all the top ranked ones are over in the US getting ready for the Masters, while the DP World Tour stays in South Africa, and we're going to see some great golf there as well. So, yeah, again, another good week in prospect, Matt. And you know that Masters is just around the corner.
So exciting, isn't it? So exciting.
Yeah, it is. To be honest, it's just an exciting time of year, isn't it? And it's one that we all, like, literally can't wait for the Masters to come around. And it feels like it's over and done with very, very quickly. But yeah, it's certainly hotting up. And there's lots of players seem to be finding form at the right time, which is great as well. Right, let's have a bit of a chat. We've actually had a couple of people send a few questions in, haven't we? Yeah?
We have. So I am fully prepared. Ollie Cracknell has sent a message in asking, it's a good one for you, actually. What would you say was, I think so. What would you say is the best cheaper alternative to a Pro V1 or a Pro V1X golf ball?
I would massively say it depends what you want to spend.
Yeah.
There are lots of good golf balls out there. There are lots of terrible golf balls out there as well. But I would say, so obviously Pro V1 price-wise, you're looking just short of £50 a dozen now, aren't you? Yeah, which is just crazy money for some golf balls. But I mean, of the reviews we've done, if you're looking tour level sort of golf ball, I would say something like Strixon Z-Star, Z-Star XV, or Z-Star Diamond, really, really good. And the sort of deals you can get those for around £40 a dozen, or maybe even, you know, some of the multi-buy deals you get maybe a little bit less, but they are a fantastic golf ball. Obviously, make sure you get the right one for you. But I mean, it's hard to look past the sort of top brands, really. Callaway make great golf balls. TaylorMade in the TP5, TP5X are really good too. And again, price-wise, you're probably looking about £40. But I mean, if you're wanting to spend less than that, so sort of mid-30s to 30 quid, something like something around that kind of area, I guess you've got to look at what sort of handicap you're off as well, because for most of you, Pro V1's probably not going to be the best ball for you either. So, you know, you want some that feel quite nice when you chip and putt with them, but also give you a bit of distance and don't feel like concrete when you're hitting them. So balls like Wilson Triad, really, really good golf ball. The ERC from Callaway is fantastic. Titleist do a couple of golf balls around that kind of area. The Tour Response from TaylorMade.
They've been very popular, haven't they? The Tour Response.
Popular, and particularly the one with the stripe on. I just can't keep them in stock. People are just buying them all the time. But they are a very, very, very good golf ball. But even down at the sort of £20 kind of range, you've still got good golf balls there. Like Callaway Super Soft is a brilliant golf ball, sort of between 20 and 25 quid. Velocity in Titleist. Like I say, I think it just comes down to what you want to pay for a dozen golf balls.
Yeah.
And if it's 20 to 25 quid, then those are good. If it's 30 quid, you know, the ones I've said. And if it's 40 quid, then I'd go Strixon. Or TaylorMade probably in those areas, but yeah, certainly I wouldn't be paying 50 quid for a dozen golf balls. Not a chance.
No, do you know what I would always suggest to people, right? And this is something that I am a real advocate of, is firstly, I you know, yes, support your pro, but if you're not a member of a golf club and you've kind of got that free range to go out and kind of, you know, shop online, there's always deals to be had. And like you say, like if you can afford to buy in bulk, then you know, there's a lot of multi-buy deals available. If you time it right, so I know that there's lots of pro shops that have still got the old Titleist model in stock, and they might be looking to move those on. I've seen them online.
Absolutely, I'm one of
35,
them. You know,
38 quid a dozen.
I've got a deal on last year's Pro V. I've got deals on Strixon as well. So, you know, Z-Star, I'm doing like two dozen for 55 quid, I think, or 65 quid. Something like that. And TP5, TP5X, I'm doing two dozen for 75. So, there's lots of multi-buy deals to have. I think Super Soft, I've got like three dozen for 55 quid deal on in the shop. So, yeah, if you want to buy more, the more you buy, the more you save.
Yeah. The other thing that I was going to say is almost kind of make a decision on what ball you want to use and maybe stick with it, because I'm a big advocate of
that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big advocate of that consistency. Not so much long game wise, but short game, you know, like you need to know what your ball's doing, chipping and putting wise. You need to know how it feels coming off the putter. You know, that's where you're going to make your scores really at our level.
Absolutely. And, you know, grabbing one, you know, you might stick your hand in the bag and a Kirkland signature comes out. And then the next time you put your hand in a Wilson Duo Soft might come out, and they're just not going to feel the same. They're not going to react the same. You then don't have that feel that you do build up. And certainly using the same golf ball over and over again, you do develop a feel for what it's going to do when you hit it, whether it's putting or chipping or hitting bunker shots or whatever. But
I find it incredible, like the amount of people that I play with that are, you know, I want to say maybe even mid to single figure golfers that have just got a bag of mixed balls, and you know, they'll hit a, you know, I don't know, they'll hit a 6-iron 160 yards and they'll hit a 6-iron 140 yards and they wonder why and they can't work it out, you know. Oh, you know, and then you look down and like 1 minute they're using a, you know, even like refurbed balls and stuff like that, like I can't get mowed around. They're good for practice, mind, but
they are the worst. I mean, I don't know if you've watched any of the My Golf Spy stuff where they've tested refurbed balls.
It's scary, mate. It's scary. Like, you just need that consistency. I'd rather use, and again, no disrespect to anybody that is using them, I'd rather, you know, like a 15-pound box of Schricks and Distance that you can, you know, pick up in Sports Direct. I'd rather use those than refurbed balls. You don't know how long it's been sitting at the bottom of a lake for. You don't know, you know, how many trees it's been bashed against. And,
well, you know, a lot of them, if you look, there could be a Callaway ball that's just been repainted and the tightness
stamped on. Yeah, yeah. What I would say, though, you mentioned Kirkland Signature. I have used those through this winter. And they're not bad. I've shot some good scores with them.
I've only ever hit them, obviously, on the track, man, and against a tour level ball. They're just not very good. But, yeah, I mean, they're not aimed at someone like
that. Right, at 26 quid for two dozen.
Yeah, fair play.
Good, I mean, good winter ball.
It is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, I've used the same ball now for, like, 3-4 years, and it's, yeah, I just know what it's going to do. Do you know what I mean? I've used Pro V1 in the past, and I mean, by that, you know, I don't use Pro V1, but when I have used it, I just get really odd results with irons, particularly. I just get flyers all the time. And I don't know why. It's not, obviously not the golf ball, it's me, but the ball I currently use, which is Callaway Chrome Soft X, I just don't get them. I just get so much more consistency when I'm hitting iron shots with them. But like I say, I think it must have something to do with the way I hit it, because, yeah, I've not had any other golf ball that does that. But Pro V1, every time I use it, I just get some really funny yardages.
Yeah.
But it's obviously the number one ball in golf, and most people on the major tours are using it. So it's clearly not the golf ball's fault, it's mine. But yeah, it's an interesting question. But I would say just look at, like you've said, deals are the best way. But then also you've got to kind of think, what do you want to spend? And there will be a golf ball out there. And, you know, if who did you say it was that sent the question in?
Ollie Cracknell.
Ollie, if you want to know, like, if you want to send us a message and say, I want to spend X amount on some golf balls, then I'll send you a few, sort of a list of a few that you might want to try.
Yep. Right, next question. Yeah, we've probably got time to squeeze another one in. I'm just trying to find out, because, you know, sometimes on Instagram profiles, people just have this. Chris Brown, not the pop star.
No.
Chris Brown, the golfer. He's asking about a potential golf trip to the Isle of Arran.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
I'd say awesome. That sounds amazing. I mean, I've never played golf on the Isle of Arran myself. I've only ever looked at it across the sea when I've been sort of in the Ayrshire kind of area, but by all account, it looks awesome. I think, is there about, you're going to test me now, is there 7-8 golf courses on there, something like that?
There's 7 golf courses on the Isle of Arran. So basically, look, let's be honest, we've done a little bit of research, didn't we, in prep for the podcast. Yep. So we know the Isle of Arran from our time at Dundonald. It's, you know, visible from Dundonald Links, from Kilmarnock, Barassi, from where else can you see it?
Well, there's been plenty of days when Arran's not been visible when I've been there, mate. When the weather's been that bad. But yeah, literally, you look straight out the window of Dundonald's clubhouse and you're literally looking straight out to sea to the Isle of Arran, and you can see it in the distance. But
yeah,
I honestly didn't know there were golf courses over there, but obviously there are, and quite a few. And by the look of it, the sort of scenery that you get there is beautiful. So,
well, for a small island to have 7 golf courses,
That's crazy, that, isn't it?
Yeah, like I don't want to butcher some of the names, but you've got Broderick, Lamrach.
You say a small island, it's kind of, you know, if you were to put it on that coast of Scotland there, it's pretty much all the way from like West Kilbride all the way down to about, it's sort of well near Turnberry all the way down there, isn't it? So it's a fair size, like, but
you can get an Arran golf pass where you can play all seven fantastic courses on the beautiful Isle of Arran.
You're not reading this by any chance, are you?
Absolutely. It's valid for 1 year, big savings. Great value for only £120.
For all of them?
Yes, so you buy your Arran golf pass online or at any of the seven golf courses by arrangement. So I'm assuming you pay for your pass and then you have to get in contact with your with the clubs that you want to play. Look, just like every other golf course, they've got open competitions and stuff up there. It's always worth having a look at.
Question, right? How the hell do you get there?
I'm guessing by boat.
I'm very much guessing by boat. I mean, where do you get the boat from?
I have no idea.
Look at it now. Ardrossan, it looks like.
Yeah, it'll be
very good.
Yeah, I don't know, but it looks fun.
To be honest, it's maybe something we need to stick on the list. We need to get onto Golf Shake and get us to Arran. The only thing I know about Arran is it makes lovely whiskey because they have it in the lodges at Dundonald and it's amazing.
Yeah. Maybe we need to get in touch with the Isle of Arran Tourist Board or something like that. And
easy for you to say.
Yeah.
it would be good, absolutely. But not somewhere I've been, but it's somewhere I want to go now.
Now we want to go. Well done, Chris. You've just opened up this Arran-shaped can of worms for us all. But no, good question. It's, amazing what you find when you ask other people stuff.
Isn't it? I can't wait to go to Arran. I'm actually going up that way this week. That's like segued nicely into that. So I've got a little group going up to Dundonald this week. We are playing Dundonald on Thursday and Saturday, and then we're playing, I think, Western Gales on Friday, and we are finishing off at the wonderful Prestwick on Sunday morning. So,
what's the early weather forecast looking like for you?
Do you know what? It actually looks all right. I was very wary when booking this trip that the last week of March on the west coast of Scotland is probably asking for trouble, but also I've been in July and it's been pretty horrible as well. So, at the moment it's a bit showery sort of, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but then Sunday, Monday looks quite nice.
Do you know, say that, I mean, one, it's early, right? Two, I'm looking at it now. You're getting like 40% chance of rain. Yeah. You know, if you told me there was 30% chance I'd make a hole in one this weekend, you wouldn't fancy your chances, would you? So I don't think you're going to get too wet. I think you're going to be fine.
I have faith. And the temperatures look all right. They're sort of like 10 degrees ish pretty much all the time. And I think just as long as we do, I'd rather have like, you know, a few showers here and there and not really much rain than it being really wet all the way around or really, really windy. So yeah, we'll see. Fingers crossed, but whatever happens, we're going to have an amazing time because
you are going to have a good time.
Very, very special place to be. So, yeah, the guys that I'm taking are really looking forward to it, and personally, I can't wait to go. I'm taking my dad with me as well, and he's never been up there and played, so it'd be great to take him. I think he may have played Prestwick actually before, but he's never been to Dundonald. So
that would be lovely.
Be cool. So, what are you up to this week, then, mate? I've told you what I'm doing
this week. So, I actually don't know. I don't know this week because I've got games booked Saturday and Sunday this weekend.
Uh-huh. So you do
but know. To be honest, I'm looking ahead. I'm getting ahead of myself. So I will play again at some point this week, I'm sure, before the weekend. But next week could be pretty special. Now, I don't want to go too much into it because obviously we'll record another podcast next week. But this time next week, when we record, I should know whether or not I'll be playing somewhere super, super special on Wednesday. That will involve a bit of a car journey. But other than that, I'm actually off next week on Tuesday. It's the final winter four balls at Felixstowe of the winter. And then I'm doing, I'm playing a venue on Friday next week for Golf Shake that's got two courses. So I'll be playing two rounds of golf next Friday. So yeah, this week, not that much, but next week could be like just season defining. It could open the golf season for me with a bang next week.
Oh, really?
Put it that way. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to tease you. You can have some guesses if people want to get in touch and guess what I might be up to next week.
I don't have to guess.
Do you know?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Do you think you know? You know.
I know.
So I'm not going to find out until Monday. Yeah. And if it happens, then I'm literally going to get in my car 3 o'clock Wednesday morning. Because that's the sort of thing we do. Golfers, we're nutty, aren't we? That's what we do.
Yeah. Like I said before, there's very few things you would get up at that certain time of the day for, but playing golf where you're hopefully going to play would definitely be one of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's potentially a 14, 15 hour round trip that I'm considering doing in a day just to play golf. That's all I'm saying.
And why not?
Why not? Only young ones, aren't we?
And who may you be playing with?
So I may be playing with, I don't know if I'm going to say it because it'll give too much away. Ask me again next week. Someone very close to the Golf Shake podcast, put it that way.
Oh, well, that sounds like it's going to be absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously going to have a few rounds of golf up there this week, and hopefully you might be travelling somewhere next week to have a few games of golf. So, yeah, it's all looking good in the run-up to the Masters. So, yeah, hopefully all you guys are going to get out there and play as well. If you've got any questions for me or Matt or anything to do with golf, really, please pop them on our social media. So whether it's either of our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or any of the Golf Shake ones as well. And obviously you can email info@golfshake.com to get hold of us. Thank you.
Please, if you do as well, please leave us a review. I know it's the sort of thing that, I'll be honest, right? I listen to a lot of golf podcasts. I spend a lot of time in the car. And it's something that all other golf podcasts hosts do. They ask you, you know, every week, great. And it's something that we don't do, is kind of, you know, force feed you to rate it and stuff. But you know, if you are feeling in a good mood and you are enjoying what we're doing each week, then yeah, one, tell us, two, leave a review, because it helps more people enjoy it, and sharing is caring.
Absolutely, indeed. And thank you all for listening as usual, and we'll see you all next week.